we have tried to start spiritual warfare for 2 days. We haven't gotten to the starting line yet. I can't hear you.
We've lived it a little bit.
Yeah.
We've studied it.
Let's go to Ezekiel 8. I believe that, and I think I can show it, but Ezekiel has more revelation about the working of our brains, if you will, our mind, actually. Brain is the thing. The mind is in the brain, obviously. But it has more explanations of what is going on in the mind. That's below our consciousness usually. We just do it automatically. And so Ezekiel 8, to me, is the best description of that anywhere in the Bible or in anything I've ever read. And it shows us all the characters that are going on up here in our little brain.
I just saw something. When you said it's the meat up here, and in our worldly lives, we gather information and we put it in the meat machine of the mind. And that's the carnal mind. Everything we experience, sense, learn, etc., that's the carnal mind. And it's not the spiritual mind, but it's...
It has nothing to do with the spiritual mind, yeah. Right.
And this kind of helps clarify this carnal mind versus spiritual stuff.
All right. Let's just start in verse 1. It came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord fell upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness, as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins, even downward fire, and from the appearance of his loins, even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of mine head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the vision of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, there where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then he said unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, the image of jealousy in the entry. Now what is this image of jealousy? Well, it's God's jealousy. God is jealous over us. Not that we be conformed to the image of Christ, that we have nothing else going on. And that jealousy is the... Well, anyway.
Well, what's the image?
Huh?
Is there a physical or some kind of real image of jealousy?
Well, you see, it is in here. That's what this is going on. This is what this is about. This is about our mind. All right? Our Jerusalem that now is. Every man has a Jerusalem that now is. And it controls every aspect of his life except the things that keep him alive. And that Jerusalem, our Jerusalem that now is what happened at the fall. It created this consciousness of self. And it created this image, and that image of jealousy is repeated. repeated three times here, I think, because it's so important that we not be part of that image of jealousy any longer. Amen?
So it's God's jealousy on the one hand, and then it's something we need to not be a part of anymore. That's kind of not, it's not registering somehow. I missed something.
We were created in innocency.
All right.
Without a consciousness of self.
Right.
All right?
All right.
We are to return to that innocency. Except you be converted and become as that little child, you can no wise enter the kingdom of God.
Right.
So that jealousy, the image of jealousy, is addressing that fall of man.
Okay.
Is that anybody?
That's clear.
All right. He said in verse 6, he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. Now, what does it mean to go far off from his sanctuary? His sanctuary has always been the New Jerusalem. And that is the state of being in eternity.
Is the New Jerusalem easy for me to say? Is that heaven on earth?
Well, right now, let's just say that it's the New Jerusalem is the place that we call heaven, or except it doesn't have our images of what we think heaven is.
So the Jerusalem that now is our the fallen Jerusalem.
Right, it's our minds.
Yeah, but the New Jerusalem is God's self.
The New Jerusalem doesn't have any part of us because he can't see the map. He can't see the. He doesn't look on iniquity.
But that's our home.
That's what the human race's home is.
The New Jerusalem.
No.
The Jerusalem now is.
Right. Not the one over there. That's just a parable.
Right. This is different.
All right. Verse 7. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Every other time that he had looked and seen a hole, there was a problem. So he filled it with untempered mortar. That's what the whole bunch of places in Ezekiel talks about. You repair the wall rather than looking into it. You try to fix something about yourself rather than seeing the unfixableness. Okay? Everybody understand that a little bit for now? So he's showing him this hole in the wall. It's called a door. But nobody wants to go down there. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. That door is always, the door is always Jesus Christ. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. Again, there's nothing new under the sun. The same idolatry that he saw here, that was in Adam after the fall, is the same idolatry that still is in your mind. There's nothing new under the sun.
It's interesting that the door is Jesus Christ. Behold, come in and sup with me, but this is what you encounter.
No, this is behold and see.
Well,
to so a repentance is possible.
Yeah. You go in, and rather than glorious everything, you walk right into...
You see the crap. Until you see this crap, there can be no repentance. You can repent for little things, like you did something or something, but this is the great transgression that he's showing us. The one Isaiah speaks about. Deliver us from the great transgression.
It's your entire being.
It's your being because of the fall. It's everything that makes you you. So let's, and he said, in verse 10 again, so I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing and the abominable beast and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Saphon, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. This is not the incense that's burned to God. This is the incense that's burned to Molech, or your false god, the god of self-realization, self-improvement. Everybody get a handle on this a minute? This is not about something out there. This is about something in your head, in our head, in the human race's head.
Amen.
There were 70 men again, because there are 7 high places, and in each high place, 10 crowns. So 70, and in the midst of them, every man is censer in his hand, which is illegal. And a great cloud of incense went up. And in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Saphon. Now we know that Jazaniah is the Antichrist, and son of the beast. But it's really, we think it's a big roaring lion beast, but it's really a rock rabbit, a coney. This is why The Wizard of Oz was such an incredible movie. Why it was so, because it touched something inwardly. Does that communicate?
When we were in Colorado, they had conies, little rock rabbits. And it was so hilarious because we've been studying some of this when we went up. And they're just little chicken shit rabbits.
Yeah, well, they really are chicken. They're not like jackrabbits or they're just little shy.
Sneak and peek and run.
All right. So there stood before them 70 men of the house of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Saphon, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Now all this incense that's going up is all the ideas, all the plans, all the ambitions, all the projects, all the work, everything that man, human race does. It's this thick cloud of incense. And it's just their thoughts. Most of them have a folder there called Great Idea Folder. What?
I said, I knew you were going to resist that one.
I know.
I'm going to give you that one for free. This is what I saw when we started about the carnal mind. This all feeds that image because this is all about the carnal mind. And it's majesty and it's wondering. And we all worship that.
Every man.
Yeah.
All right. And then he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do here in the dark? Every man, everyone, every being, in the chambers of his imagery or his imagination? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. So So we have to figure things out. Because the Lord has forsaken the earth. We never say that, but the evidence that we believe it is because we have to take the action. We have to do stuff as opposed to entering into the rest. That's why there are 46 death penalties for breaking the Sabbath, to make this so clear. That's why if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is evil, all that word means is having toil to do. If your eye is evil, then even the light that is in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? Because everything, even your reading the scriptures, goes through this whole process here. Every man, no matter whether he calls himself a Muslim or a Christian or a Buddhist or an atheist. That's why I accept the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. That's why no one can know another person, really. The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. And we could go on and on. Then you turn again and you see greater abominations. But anyway, I wanted each of us to get that picture. If you don't believe this, it's not my business. I believe that this is every man, woman, and child. What you've done, what the fall has done to us. That's why there's never peace. That's why there's always something to do. That's why your works always lead you instead of follow you. I beg of you, let's talk about it if you don't see it. If you don't understand it. I put it only in the way that communicates with me.
Yeah, well, that communicates, works leading us. Is something we've talked about many, many times. And it's what our plans do. We make a to-do list or a plan of how something's supposed to end up. And then try to make it happen.
And we don't think there's any other way to live.
I was thinking about the universal mind, which is common in yogas and Eastern religions and many religions. And I've always been curious about that. But this kind of clears up a lot of the concepts, especially when you're talking about it doesn't matter whether your religion is Buddhism or Hindu or Muslim or what.
No, it's the same. It's the same. There's only the house of Israel. That's what we were created to be.
So you either can acquiesce to the universal reality of the mind and the highest parts of the mind, and I'm sure these guys...
Oh, they're ranked.
Oh, they're high on the list.
These 70 are ranked. They're your guidance.
Yeah. They're your elders.
Some of them are silent. But most of the time, some of them are always talking.
Screamers. Yeah, how cool.
Well, let's look at another one. Let's see another, since we're here. Then in verse 13, Then said also unto me, turn thee yet again. Repent deeper, is what it means. Turn ye yet again. And you shall see greater abominations. But they do. Even greater. Let me show what that is. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Now you know that Tammuz is the resurrection god. In every ancient culture, they had a resurrection god. His name is Tammuz, not Jesus Christ. Much of the church has changed Jesus Christ into Tammuz. Partly. And there sat women weeping for Tammuz. And they're weeping for Tammuz because they think in their sorrow they can cause him to be resurrected, because he keeps dying and gets resurrected, dies and gets resurrected over and over again. He's resurrected every time you have a success. You thank God. And then he fails. Something fails. And you have the women up here weeping for Tammuz. And that's manifested in your own depression or sorrow, because something didn't work. Is this touching anybody?
When in fact you can praise him when it works, praise him when it doesn't. Because failure is as important as success.
But it's all this mishmash and meaningless crap. Then he said to me, then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, repent deeper, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. How can there be greater than these? And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. Now, what's that inner court? It's the holy place. It's not where the Holy of Holies is, but where the holy place, with the candlestick and the table of showbread and the altar of incense. This isn't optional. This is every man. When we're there, this is where the yet greater abominations are seen. This is the people that believe they are believers.
It almost seems like it's a subconscious. You're going deeper and deeper.
Well, it's subconscious because we don't want to look at it.
Yeah.
We think we don't. This is where the midnight hour comes to light. This is where the thought process that goes on that you don't let anybody know about. This is where the sexual activities are. He brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, verse 16. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Now, why is that a greater abomination? It's a greater abomination because everything in the house of God turns west. That's why your day starts at sunset instead of sunrise. And yet you worship toward the east when you believe tomorrow will be better. Why they are saying, I mean, for instance, that's in that subject, that's why there's a whole, all these guys, they all copy one another, but now, the last few months or years, it's been, we're part of the great end time conversion or growth of the church. Well, it says the opposite in Thessalonians, we had read yesterday. There's no great end time revival. There's a great end time apostasy. Are you getting a picture of your mind? You're doing it in the name of Jesus, but it's in the name of Tammuz. That's why Jesus said the first thing to his disciples, abandon yourself. Divorce, get a divorce from yourself. Give no thought for yourself. Give no thought for your life in any dimension, under any guise. You know, everybody runs around and says, oh, praise God, God delivered me from this, and God did that. Well, we're talking about Tammuz. And you don't do it because you decide you're going to do it. You do it as a natural beast. You feel better about something when something succeeds, and you mourn when there's something doesn't succeed. And it's just this—it's just this crap going on here. Anything new under the sun? God has forsaken the earth, so I've got to lean on my own arm of understanding. You're not, you're leading, you're worshiping Molech and his minions. It's one vowel point away from Melech, the true God. The place of the preacher is always the lowest seat, the Bima. Now you always take the highest seat. That's the idea of that is that when things are going well and you praise God, when things are going bad, you mourn for Tammuz.
What's the word Bima and what?
Bama. Bama is like just for the teaching place. It never was preaching. It was never the pulpit. It was the lowest seat. That's why we were. Anyway, I spent many years studying this before I even talked about it. I talked about it when we were doing the idolatry back in, I guess, early 90s. But this has been on my head since within a month after I was converted. It just makes me sick to see what people do because I see this. But they're doing it in the name of God, so that makes it wonderful. Got a couple big ones left, so let's remind me to go back to Ezekiel 16 tomorrow. No, it's tomorrow. What day is it today?
Tomorrow's Saturday.
Oh, never mind. Go back Monday. If he delays, it's
okay, so
Ezekiel 8, 17 to 16. All right, anybody, please, please don't make this a monologue. Let's have a dialogue right now. Does anybody think this is just goofy, a comic book?
Well, I thank God myself for the first thing I thought about carnal mind. Because I don't think I would have understood anything else had I not seen that as clear as I did. And that that's all we were talking about here is the carnal mind, which is enmity against God, and it's very plain to see.
And that carnal mind is everything that you can use your mind for.
Yeah, it's all you got if you haven't crossed over, if God hasn't touched you.
Remember, there's a whole lot of Christians doing this because they haven't seen into the inner core.
I agree with that. But
there's no use. If you really see this, and I pray that we do, then you see why Jesus said, totally abandon yourself. Take no thought for anything. A And you all, but we can't do that because it's too dangerous. Not to take any thought for anything. Might cost us everything. But that's a good place to stop. John?
I'm with you on this.
Yeah, me too.
We're your fans today, Ollie.
Yeah. once in 10 years.
I'll change it in a couple minutes.
All right, take it, big guy.
All right.